This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we are going over Don't Go Breaking My Heart. I wouldn't if I tried. So if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Are you ready for
One Dry Kiss?
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies, where we recap one movie on how to love in April. Today we are doing Don't Go Breaking My Heart. And you know who not only doesn't go breaking my heart, but is the soothing pitter-patter of rain to my soul, Miss Tamara Cosio.
Aww. And you also don't go breaking my heart, because you would never try, because you're my bestie, better than the restie, Corinne Edding.
Woo! Okay, so I accidentally on purpose did some emotional spending, and I have like this pile of clothes that I need to try on so that I can hopefully return some of them.
Oh, wow. I did some emotional spending myself. I messed around and went and bought like 4 pairs of shoes in a month.
Woo.
I've had the same pairs of shoes for years and years, and then something broke in me, and it was a shoe-palooza.
Why, hello there, Imelda. Also, I went out on a date with a guy who ended up sending me, and I quote, a graphically sexy picture of his washer and dryer.
Oh, that was so funny. God, you told me that, and he was like, he texted you, I'm going to send you a really graphic picture later.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I was blowing my nose with the blowing nose avatar, which I thought was just genius. And then you showed me what he sent you, and I was like, okay, this guy's a keeper, because it was a washer and dryer.
And you would think he was a keeper, but sadly, all sexy visions of me doing laundry at his place were dashed. He invited me over last Friday, and he was like, hey, you know, you want to come over, watch a movie, whatever. And I was like, sure, maybe we can get something to eat together. And he was like, don't base your eating on schedule on me. And I was like,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know. I might not be up for getting together. And he's like, okay, well, I'm just going to be around, so whatever. I don't end up going. I just was like, this feels really weird. And so on Saturday, he's like, hey, I thought you were going to come over. And I said, well, I said that I may or I may not. So then we get into it, and he's like, no, you shouldn't base your eating schedule on me. And I was like, it's not a big deal. If you let me know when you can eat, then I can just have a snack in between. I don't have a problem with taking care of my hunger. I am not going to starve in between when we eat. And he's like, yeah, but you know, sometimes I don't eat lunch. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and sometimes I don't eat dinner until 10 p.m. And I was like, welcome to my life.
That's awful. Wow.
And throughout all of this, and when we were initially meeting and initially talking, he's just like, I'm really busy with my job. It's very time consuming. I'm super busy with my job. And he just kept on repeating that. And he kept on repeating about how I shouldn't be basing my food eating around him. Even after I was like, it's not that big of a deal. I have a somewhat similar schedule. I was just like, okay, this isn't going to happen. He wants to be clear about his schedule and stuff, and that's fine. But the amount that he mentioned it throughout our conversation.
Isn't dating fun?
Guess what? I'm still single.
I have been simultaneously overwhelmed and underwhelmed by Tinder and OkCupid. I told David that. I was like, all the amount of guys is overwhelming, and what they say is underwhelming.
Yes.
I have been propositioned more times than I can count and found out some new euphemisms that I was not familiar with.
Ooh.
That I had to look up and be like, oh no, I'm not into that. Thanks though.
I
appreciate your directness.
What euphemisms?
Oh, it was the facial.
Oh, yes, facial.
If I liked facials. And I was like, not particularly. Why? And he's like, are you not into them? And I'm like, oh, wait a second. Do you mean facials or do you mean something else? He meant something else. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how many women are into that. I think porns are into that. And I think there are very well maybe women who like having that done to them. But I think the majority of women are not interested in having cum splashed all over their face.
Yeah. And he was like, he was a fairly good looking, a little bit younger than me, which I was like, oh, you're still in the splash zone. It's fine.
And splash zone.
And he was a lawyer. And I was like, a lawyer? Okay. Well, this guy looks like he'd probably have a supermodel on his arm, but he matched with me. And then when I messaged him and he's like, do you like facials? And I'm like, oh, it makes so much more sense.
Maybe in the next time we get together, we should get facials, but like the cosmetic kind, not the...
I don't even want to just after that guy, because I will not stop thinking about what he considered a facial and what I consider a facial. I'm just going to be like, this is so wrong. Oh, and great. The mask that we're putting on is white. That's really not helping. Corinne, do you have a synopsis?
I do. Ben, played by Ryan Pavey, and Miranda, played by Italia Ricci, are both 30-something singletons in the city. The big city, the Emerald City, Seattle. When Ben, Seattle, Canada. I wrote this sentence. It should have been like two or three sentences, and I made it into one with commas, so bear with me.
Okay.
When Ben, who had just been broken up with for being emotionally unavailable, while waiting for the valet to bring his car, crosses paths with Miranda, who hasn't been broken up with that evening, but is waiting for her car as well, they share a moment of emotional vulnerability. Neither thinks they will cross paths again until Ben, in support of his sister, who had also had her heart broken, goes to breakup boot camp. And lo and behold, Miranda runs this boot camp. What? Because of their previous non-professional encounter where there were little sparks between them, lines are blurred, and both Miranda and Ben end up going on a journey of mixed up emotions that will forever change their lives. Will Ben burpee his way into Miranda's heart? Will Miranda... That was for you, Tam.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Will Miranda manage to keep his advances at bay with her loud coach's whistle? Keep those listening ears listening to find out.
Don't go burping my heart. I wouldn't if I tried.
Do you have some fun facts for us?
I really don't. I struggle with this. I am so sorry. I was trying to get fun facts at 0 hour and my internet would not work. So the one funnest fact that I do have is that my car is named after Ryan Pavey.
Yay!
My little red roller skate is called Pavey because it drives on the pavement. Pavey and because I'm quite fond of Ryan Pavey's face.
As am I.
And we love that face because I found out that he is Dutch and Indonesian on his father's side.
Ooh.
Hence that Pavey look. That, ooh, all the goodness going on in his face, yes. So that's the one fun fact I have on Ryan Pavey that I don't think I said when we did Unleashing Mr. Darcy. Uh-huh. But I do have a fun fact about Italia Ricci, who plays Miranda. She is of Italian descent. Duh, Italia Ricci. She wasn't Italian, I'd be very surprised. She graduated from Queen's University, where she undertook charitable work for causes such as WaterCan, a nonprofit creating water holes in Africa. Good on you, Italia. Yes, that was very impressive.
That is impressive.
And then I also have a couple of fun facts about Caitlin Stryker, who plays Miranda's assistant, Chloe. She's a good character. She grew up a railroad brat, never living in any city for longer than 2 years, as her father's railroading career kept the family on the move. Ooh. She splits time between three cities she calls home, New York City, LA, and Vancouver, British Columbia. And she started her career in performing arts as a ballet dancer, performing with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet's Young Performers Ensemble.
Wow.
Go, Chloe.
Go, Chloe.
So that's the conclusion of my fun facts. Shall we dive right in,
Corinne?
Were
fantastic fun facts. And my favorite of which is that your car was named Pavey. And
that was also my funnest fact. I was like, yeah. And that's how you have to say it. My car's named Pavey.
Pavey. And I like that you called it your little red roller skate, which I has nothing to do with the movie, but I thought that was a super cute visual. I'm like, oh, I've got a little matching blue roller skate.
We could be a mismatched pair going down the street. A mismatched pair of roller
skates. We're Punky Brewster roller skates. What are you talking about?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, welcome to Don't go breaking my heart. At first, we just hear polite clapping. Are we at a golf game? No, we're on the set of Good Day Portland. Oh, shit, Portland, not Seattle. Okay.
I thought it was Good Day Seattle, no, too. I
think it's Seattle. Why does it say Portland? Oh, no, it's Portland. Oh, fuck all. Really?
Okay, well, then correct me later because I said Seattle later on.
A local talk show that has a small studio audience. Co-host Bink Williams, a dashing British gent, introduces Dr. Miranda Faraday. She runs a 6-week health and wellness camp to help heal people's broken hearts, based on her philosophy that people want two things after a breakup: to have the relationship not be over, or be over the relationship.
Ain't that the truth?
Right? While you can't control the first thing, you can do things to help you to be over the relationship. Please do tell. I would love to process through relationships. Thank you very much. The other co-host, Missy McAllister, responds, well, it sounds like something that can help someone get over their lost love. Winky, winky. As she winky winkies towards Bink Williams. Bink slaps a smile on his face. Some people don't reveal their true selves until 6 months in, when you see her scream at a waiter and make him cry. The studio audience laughs, but Bink's broken heart does not. In Miranda's boot camp, each week has a theme with a correlating exercise. The themes: release. And they're not talking about masturbation. Endurance. And they're not talking about masturbation. Teamwork. And they're not. No, I'm just kidding.
And they're not talking about masturbation.
Connection, trust, and closure. As soon as they go to the weather, Misty McAllister leans towards Miranda. Bink is going to need your business card right now. Misty is a good friend. Sometime later, on a cool Portland evening, Ben is having dinner in a posh, trendy restaurant with his date, Jen. He's talking about himself, but she's not impressed. He fell off the grid for several weeks and wants to know where the relationship is going. He says, to dinner. She shakes her head. She wants that quality time, damn it. He infers that things will be better once he becomes an editor. But will it? She wants him to prioritize her, and he's not willing to choose her over work. So she leaves the restaurant in tears, and he's left lonely at the table. And I feel like I'm the lady on the end of that conversation. Ugh, my work's very important. I plan on being CEO soon. Don't care. At the end of his flop of an evening, he's waiting and waiting and waiting for his car when Miranda comes out of the restaurant, hoping to get her car. He wishes her luck in getting her car back, and she has a vision of the valets taking Ben's car out for a joyride, a la Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Woohoo! He shakes his head. About right for the night I'm having. The woman that I thought things were going well with just left in a cab with my heart on the bottom of her shoe. She looks at him. I think they charge an extra cleaning fee for that. Want to talk about it? Ben replies, oh, you know the old chestnut. Boy meets girl. Girl gives boy an unreasonable ultimatum. Girl storms out. Boy eats both entrees. Miranda responds dryly. Yep, we all have one of those. Ben gets a little light in his eyes. Do tell me. Comfort me in my pain. Girl meets boy. Girl marries boy. Boy leaves girl. Girl takes up kickboxing and pretends beg is boy. Ben chuckles, and they look at each other with heart eyes. Ben's car pulls up, and as he starts to leave, she lets him know that broken hearts do heal.
Aww. The next day, Miranda is in a large room with a group of people sitting in a circle journaling. She's instructing them all to get it all out. Whatever you want to say, good, bad, ugly. At the end of closure week, you can choose to send the letter or burn the letter. Or hand deliver the letter straight up your ex's backside. She doesn't say one of those things. Guess which one it is. She's holding a stopwatch in her hand with a long rope. And at first I thought it was just a long rope and was wondering why she was pacing around these people wielding it like she was going to choke somebody. Then I realized there was a clock on the end of it. She does a final countdown. 3, 2, 1. tells everyone to put their pencils down and ask how everyone's feeling. A young lady sitting in the middle raises her hand and informs Miranda that her letter has a bunch of curses in it. Miranda assures her that's fine. She thanks everyone and dismisses them, turns to leave, but stops to remind everyone as an afterthought, "Do not cyberstalk your ex! Do you hear me? Stay off Instagram!" And retreats to her office and promptly picks up her phone and cyberstalks her ex Dex on her phone.
Ha ha!
Her assistant Chloe comes in and surprises Miranda, who quickly puts down her phone and accidentally likes one of Dex's pictures. Chloe informs her that they are at capacity again and she had to add another class for her Broken Heart Boot Camp. Miranda implores her to start instructing sessions, but Chloe wants to stay in her lane. She's the head of the business and Miranda's the heart of the business. However, Chloe is interviewing people so they won't be on their own forever. And then Chloe adds, maybe you can take a break and get out there and move on.
Huh.
Miranda gives her the stink eye and assures her that she doesn't know what she's talking about. And Tamara says, mm-hmm, misliking the ex Dex's pictures. Chloe just nods knowingly and exits the room with a I know what you did on Instagram look on her face. The next morning, we see Ben jogging on the Seattle waterfront.
Portland.
Portland. Is it Portland?
It is. I just looked it up. Washington, Oregon, what's the difference?
United States.
It's in the United
of America.
States.
He's talking about the United
States. Not America. It's all in Canada anyways.
He's jogging on the earth, okay? He's jogging. And God bless you, Hallmark, for making that scene so unnecessarily long. We didn't need it, but we appreciate it. Seeing Ben just jogging and jogging, jogging up the stairs, jogging down some stairs, jogging down the street. Oh, could watch that for 10 more minutes. He gets to his apartment and his sister Kim is waiting at the door and pleads with him to talk her out of something. They go inside and she says, tell me not to call Darren. Ben nods. No problem. Or email him, she adds. He agrees. Or ride by his house on my bike. He chuckles and says, I will get in the street and block your way. Apparently, Darren is her ex. They broke up a year ago, and he's already engaged to somebody else. Ouch. Kim looks woefully at the two of them and says, we are some kind of sad sibling lonely hearts club. Ben scoffs, I'm fine. But Kim knows better. You always act like you're fine after a breakup when you're not, and have done this ever since Serena. Why do you always bring her up? He asks. That was 10 years ago. Because, Kim answers, she broke you. And it's like you're trying to put a Band-Aid over a bullet hole. She continues with her real agenda. And there's this group that's supposed to help you get over broken hearts. Her brother's doubtful because Kim has a track record of attending self-help love seminars that are generally a crock of shit. But she argues, this one's different. The girl that runs it has amazing reviews, and I don't want to feel like this anymore, and I don't want to do it alone. And you always tell me your greatest strength is helping your sister, so... Fine, he relents, and she does a happy dance. The Sad Siblings Lonely Heart Club is going on the road!
Woo! We have seen some of these bad love self-help things through our month of how to love. Oh.
Yes. Oh. Yes, we have.
Not good.
The steps, the seminars, the speeches, the advice. I'm like, oh, sweet baby Jesus. Who wrote this? I want to know who wrote this. I want to see them and what kind of relationship they're in.
I do think it's interesting, though, because we had really bad advice. Then we actually had actual legit good advice in our second movie. And then we had bad advice again. And now I think that this has some legit good stuff in it.
Yeah.
On how to heal your... your wounded heart.
Yeah.
Miranda and Chloe's first interview for a teacher seems to be going well until the Reiki instructor asks Miranda how she feels about incorporating past life regression into her boot camp. Oh, hey, will you look at the time, Miranda and Chloe say. Enjoy your free herbal tea. And with a namaste, they book it out of there as elegantly as possible.
Do you believe in past life regression?
I believe in past lives, but I think a lot of the past life regression stuff is sort of manipulations of how memory can be bendy. So,
yeah, I like those stories where it's like a 4-year-old little boy that has an like exorbitant amount of knowledge about like planes and flying and whatever and like World War II stuff, and then they like link it to like a pilot that died 50 years ago or something. Like that always fascinates me. I'm always like, how does that happen?
What about you? What do you think?
The reason why I brought that up, that little boy, is because those stories, it's kind of like, it makes you wonder if it's true and accurate, then I would believe it. But then you don't know, like, if he has just a photographic memory and overheard, like, something about this person or pilot or whatever, and then is just regurgitating it. So I'm on the fence. I want to believe, but I'm dubious.
Yeah, you know, it's the whole psychic thing. Like, I think that there's some people who are actually psychic. And then I think that, like, 90% of people are not, who are pretending they are.
Yeah.
Sort of like the whole past life regression thing. I think there's a few people who can probably appropriately do it. And the rest of them are just feeding a bunch of hooey into your subconscious. So you'll go a certain way with your memories.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ben and Chloe are in their first session of breakup boot camp, where they meet Helen, an enthusiastic second-timer recovering from her breakup of a 30-year marriage. Bink Williams from Good Morning Portland is also there, and awkward introductions are made all around. In the middle of Ben explaining that he's just there for moral support, you wouldn't want people to think you're actually there for yourself. He's never been affected by a breakup. He gets a call from his office and takes it outside. Now.
Are you just like, we've all never been affected by a breakup, Ben. Just like we all have.
Oh, yeah. No.
We are rocks. We are islands. Smooth as a pine cone.
Smooth as a pine cone. Yes. Once Ben is done with the call, he encounters Miranda. They both smile and get the tummy flutters, lightly bantering about the boot camp. But then he proceeds to talk shit about the one they're both attending, saying that he's afraid this boot camp is just preying on vulnerable people and that he's just there to support his sister. He tries to coax her away for a slice of pizza, and she tells him that he should try at least one session. He follows her in begrudgingly, and that's when he shortly discovers, surprise, Miranda is the instructor. Dun, 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 dun. She announces, y'all, give Bink a little space. Also, we don't date on the rebound here, so take a step back and focus on yourself. Focus, 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 focus. And I say, there's nothing like a little rebound to help you move forward sometimes. But, you know.
Yes. I certainly hope that's the case.
To help you bound back.
Yeah. Oh. Another bit of wisdom that I've heard is the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else.
Depends on how good
Who the hell am I friends with that giving me all this?
I wouldn't say that. That did not come out of my mouth.
I know it wasn't you. I'm like, where do I hear these gems and who's giving them to me? If you can't find a good man, raise one. And the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else. Apparently, I have a friend who's a hoe. And I have to figure out which friend it is.
I'm not going to mention the pillows that I saw that were embroidered when I went over to your apartment the last time. But maybe they had those inspirational sayings on them. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, people have inspirational, motivational things on their pillows. And I have smutty advice to love by.
The best way to get over him is to get under another.
And that's why we're doing Learning How to Love in April, because neither of us have any clue what we're doing.
Just a shit show. At least I got some free meals out of some of the bad dates. Which, gentle listeners, I do not have any expectations of people buying me food. I usually try and keep things super low-key with coffee. And I typically buy my own. But if they want to pay, who am I to step in their way? They probably make more than I do anyways, so go for it. Ben's eyebrows are raised to his hairline. Wait a minute. You're the teacher? She introduces herself, and Ben is floored. Next thing he knows, he's sitting in a circle while Miranda is explaining the structure of the class to the campers. Ben interrupts, "What about fear? I'm hearing all these buzzwords like release and connection. But I think most people are here because they're afraid of being alone, afraid of their heart being broken." Miranda points out that fear is a symptom and that her buzzwords help her clients to build a strong foundation so they're coming from a place of power and certainty when they face their motherfucking fears. She says that it's easy to be a cynic, but she chooses to approach things from a positive vantage point, and she's looking forward to illustrating that in Thursday's Kickstart session called Release! As the class files out, Miranda calls out to Ben. His sister is mortified and tells him that she'll wait for him outside and for fuck's sake apologize. Miranda, because he was an ass. Miranda wants to make sure they're okay. It's only natural that he feels awkward after he was so vulnerable with her the other night. But he insists that he's fine. His heart isn't broken. It's just gently bruised. He's already processed things. She's dubious. In 4 days? I think there's something underlying. Ben is totally fine. Totally fine! And swiftly changes the subject. How about we talk more over pizza? And she ignores him, suggesting that the class might not be a good fit for him. Only people that take it seriously get something out of it, so he should take a look at the man in the mirror and consider what is right for him.
The next day, Ben goes to work at Advantage Monthly. That is a terrible name for a magazine.
Yes,
Advantage Monthly. What the fuck? Might as well call it Seattle Privilege.
Portland? Portland Privilege?
It's in Seattle. Oh, no, wait. Portland isn't in Seattle. What are we... Oh, God. Oh, Lord have mercy. No, those are different states. I finally realized it. Portland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Portland Privilege. That sounds better. Rolls off the tongue better. And it's in the right place. Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
And in the right state.
It's in the right state. Seattle, Portland, Canada. Whatever. Oh, God.
I got to say, though, like it... It did feel more Seattle-y than Portland, but yes, it's supposed to be in Portland.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Oh, fuck's sake. And I was like, when you were telling me this in the beginning, we had a conversation and I was not putting two and two together. I'm like, Seattle is in Portland, because I confused the state of Washington with Portland, Oregon, because yeah, because that's what you do, right? They're totally the same.
Look, geography is hard, okay?
Sure is.
Maps and stuffs?
Oh.
Who needs them? Oh. I'm just saying that ODK party planning are not responsible for the geographies.
Yeah. And we're not really good with facts here at ODK. Party planning, yes. Facts, no.
No.
Oh, God. He's in his cubicle and makes a call to try to get a refund for the boot camp. No one answers the phone, so he leaves a message. He agrees with Miranda that the class is just not right for him, and then concludes with a, "And if you change your mind about going out for that slice of pizza..." For fuck's sake, Ben, no means no. You're starting to err on the smarmy side.
You know, I used to love the movie Say Anything, and I thought, like, Lloyd Dobler was the bee's knees and so cute, and then... I thought about it as an adult woman, and I was like, he's like, she keeps on telling him no, and he keeps on going after her, and it's just kind of stalky, actually. And so when I was watching this most recently, I was like, Ben, just take a little step back. I know you're cute.
Yeah.
I know you're charming, but just take a step, one step.
You insult the lady. You... talk shit about her class. You ask her out. She says no. She says she doesn't date rebound or that people shouldn't date in her class. And then you ask her out again on the phone when you're trying to get a refund? What the fuck?
Well, now he's not going to be her student anymore. So it's perfect. There's no conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah.
Carpe that diem. Sure. Carpe that diem.
As he hangs up the phone, his boss Leo comes up and lets him know that there's a features editor position opening up at the end of the month. But the board is not quite sure Ben is the right guy, but Leo's working on them. Ben is thrilled. He'll do anything to be a features editor. Leo says, anything? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I wrote that and I was like, and that's how I knew I've been on Tinder too much this week. The boss man knows Ben is qualified, then goes to leave, but is stopped by a folder sitting on Ben's desk. Miranda's Heartbreak Boot Camp brochure. Leo picks it up and thumbs through it. I saw this girl on Good Morning Portland, not Seattle, Tamara. I wrote Seattle, but it's Portland. On Good Morning Portland. Are you doing this? Ben shakes his head. No, that's for my sister. She talked me into going, but it's not for me. She's just going on a self-help kick. You are doing this, Leo tells him. I feel like there's a story here, and if you just do some digging, like the Ponzi scheme you uncovered. But before Ben can argue, Leo tells him, if you get something out of this boot camp, you're a shoo-in for the features editor position. Leo leaves, and Ben leans back in his chair, contemplating his options. Meanwhile, back at boot camp, Miranda is setting up a bunch of weighted bags in the same open space. Chloe comes in and tells her that Ben's not coming back. She obviously got the message. And Chloe informs her that there's another message she needs to hear. They go to Miranda's office and we hear on speakerphone from her ex-husband, Dex. He says, hey, I saw you liked a picture of me on Instagram from a few years ago, which I thought was weird, but we do need to talk, so can you please call me back when you can? Miranda pounds the hang-up button and Chloe looks at her arms crossed with a disapproving glare. You cyber-stalked your ex? That's exactly what we tell our clients not to do! Miranda tries to defend herself. Not on purpose. It was an accident. It's like those nature shows when you see a snake eating a rat and you want to look away, but you can't. Are you going to call him back? Chloe asks, and Miranda practically shrieks, of course not! He obviously thinks I'm pining over him, and if I call him, that's just going to reinforce that belief. And I'm not. I am completely and unequivocally over him.
Totally.
Chloe narrows her eyes at Miranda for a moment, believes what she's saying, and leaves, but not before pointing to her and saying, you take that app off of your phone right now.
Yeah, she's a good friend.
Yeah, that's like Chloe got the most fun facts because Chloe's a good friend. A little later, Ben and Kim are walking near the water's edge eating hot dogs. What the fuck, Hallmark, and your goddamn hot dogs. Can't have wieners in your movie, so you substitute it with tubes of meat that they eat. I do not get it. He even proposed to eat pizza a couple of times. And is he eating pizza? No, he's eating hot dogs. Again, with the hot dogs. Ben is venting about the board, not thinking he's ready for the features editor position and how he's the best writer there. Kim tells him he's only been there for about 3 years and these things take time. He's ready to dive into another running diatribe when he sees his ex Jennifer and another guy. Dun, dun, dun. It's Emmett from her office. Jennifer brusquely explains that they're just out for lunch. Yeah, Emmett adds, no hard feelings, bro. Ben assures both of them that it's fine and tells them that we gotta go.
I like how she went from holding his arm all snuggled up to him to like pushing him away from him and then being like, oh, we're just out for lunch. That's some bullshit right there.
And Emmett seemed like a stellar guy. He seemed great. No hard feelings,
like,
bro.
Your rebound? Not so good, bro. Not so good.
They awkwardly part ways, and once they're out of earshot, he turns to his sister and says, I didn't realize I was that replaceable. Kim looks at the retreating couple and says, it says way more about her than it does about you. Don't self-help me, Ben tells her laughing, and she takes this opportunity to invite him back into Miranda's heartbreak boot camp. Come back into the fold, Ben. Come back into the fold. Ben fold vibe.
Oh, you're a genius.
We can go through it together. We can heal together. Go self-help power. She puts her hand up for a high five and he just shakes his head. But he does agree to return under the guise that he's looking out for her when really he's trying to get the inside scoop on Miranda and her boot camp. I don't know any Ben's Fold Five songs.
He has a song like Break Up for the Brokenhearted or whatever. And the refrain is, give me my money back. Give me my money back, you bitch. I want my money back. Don't forget to give me back my black t-shirt.
Oh, that's amazing. I think I need to find that song and listen to it.
Oh, it's a very cathartic song, I have to tell you. Later, Ben finds Miranda at the boot camp, and she lets him know that she'll get a refund check cut for him. But Ben pish-poshes that. He informs her that he's decided to stick with the class. He's ready to do the work. And Miranda reminds him of when he called her a con. She calls him on his shit, and she wants to know why he had a change of heart. He tells her about seeing his ex, Jen, already dating another guy. Not just any guy. A guy that motherfucking called him bro.
Yeah.
That's just a punchable offense. Ugh, no. Miranda sympathizes and allows him back as long as he's ready to do the work. He needs to check his motherfucking cynic at the door because they are signing a pledge that night, not to her, not to virginity, but to themselves. Miranda says, I'm here to help you process through your heartbreak. And Ben replies, and I'm here to help you with yours. He pulls out a stethoscope and says, paging Dr. Love. He holds the stethoscope up and says, I'm going to need you to take off your shirt for this to work.
I missed that part. I must have like got up to go to the restroom or something.
That's what happens when you don't just sit there with your popcorn. Or maybe he offers to help her and she says, that's not how this works. Why don't we just set aside our preconceived ideas about each other and start from scratch? Ben agrees and they shake on it. Okay, but seriously, who goes to a therapist or a teacher and they say, I'm going to help you with X issue or to learn Y thing. And you turn around and say to them, and I'm going to help you as well.
Yeah.
I like Ben.
Fair point.
But in this instance, Ben, go fuck straight off. Like, no. Nope. Thank goodness he's got such a pretty face and such a good voice. Ugh.
I know.
It's Thursday and everyone is kicking and hitting heavy bags as Miranda shouts, welcome to week one. Release! Release those feelings into the bag. You got rage. Punch it out. Feelings of betrayal or abandonment. Kick those feelings into the bag. She walks over to Ben, who is barely tapping his heavy bag. He is not buying into this. But Miranda taps into his feelings of rage by calling him bro. He gives her a you very much look, but he takes the point and the feelings and kicks that heavy bag, accidentally slamming it into Bink, who in turn slams his face into his heavy bag. Bink, upset, kicks the bag back to Ben, who finally admits, this is kind of fun.
After class, Ben says goodbye to his sister Kim and walks to his car, but his phone rings. It's his boss Leo, who wants to know how the story is sussing out. Ben tells him that everything seems on the up and up except for the commitment agreement. Leo's ears perk up. There might be something there. Keep digging. Ben assures him that he will, and he walks back to the building to find Miranda locking up for the night. Ben says release week was tough, but he feels like he got something out of it. Okay, he didn't say it sexy like that. He just said that release week was tough.
Oh, yeah.
I am so released.
I really got something out of it. It was so hard.
This is going to be the innuendo heavy episode.
Oh my God. We need to put like an extra warning that this episode has a lot of sex talk in it.
They know what they're getting into. They know that they if they know us at all. Well, I guess if it's a new listener, sorry, we're apologizing now. We're not putting in another disclaimer. Stop listening if you are offended to this point, because it's only going to get worse.
Facial.
Oh, yeah. No, that probably was the peak when we talked about facials. Yep.
Yes.
If you're not already gone. Thanks for hanging in there with us. Where was I? Release. Oh, yes, the release. But he feels like he got something out of it. He tries to get a little intel and asks if he asked for a refund now, would she give it to him? And how hard would that be? Really, how hard would that be?
Ooh, so hard.
She's about to answer him when a man approaches them and says, Miranda, we need to talk. It's Dex, her ex, and she is flustered when she sees him. You never called me back, he accuses. And she hems and haws, trying to come up with an excuse. Now's not a good time to talk. I'm going to... Ben comes to her rescue. He stands right beside her and says, we have a thing we're going to. Miranda realizes he's helping to cover her ass and grabs his arm. Yes, she gushes, we have a thing. A reservation, Ben adds, for sushi. And then after, we're going to the Overlook, and we drink wine there, he says clunkily, and talk about our future. Miranda gives him the eye, but continues to play along. Yep, that sounds like us. All right, Dex says, only half believing them. So you'll call me later when you have time? Of course, she says, a little overly enthusiastic, and they hurry off. Once they're away from Dex, Ben asks Miranda if she wants to talk about it. No, she says with gusto. No. He nods, understanding. Ah, the teacher-client line. That would be crossing it. Although I am kind of involved now. She relents and shares that he was her ex-husband. And then Ben, much like Chloe, asks if she's going to call him. And she says, no! with gusto again. Why, he asks? I mean, like, why is he, like, all up in her business? Like, are you going to call him back? What the fuck? Back up, Ben. Back up a little bit.
I'm just so distracted by Dex at this point, who seems to be, like, trying to hunt her down for some reason. And I'm like, yeah, you fucking asshole. You guys were married and you left without any explanation. And now you're trying to talk to her?
Yeah.
And if she's not getting back to you, fucking leave it alone, dude. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Or why don't you leave a message with some information in it versus like,
we need to talk.
What do you need to talk about? Why don't you just tell her the information in the voicemail? Fucking Dex. No feelings here. No feelings whatsoever.
No. And so Ben asks if she's going to call her. She says, no. Why? He asks. I know we don't get to closure until week 6, but what if that's what he was looking for? And Miranda's anger and defenses are up. I don't care. He doesn't get to leave out of nowhere and then pop up whenever he feels like it for closure. She tries to flip the script on Ben and address his relationship, but he sees what she's doing from a mile away. Why are you avoiding us talking about you and your love life? Because she's your motherfucking teacher, Ben, and she's putting up her boundaries. Respect them. She continues to be elusive, and he in turn is not answering her questions until they amicably part ways and say, see you in class next week. And next, we see all the participants of Miranda's Heartbreak Boot Camp exercising in the middle of a forest. This week, she announces, is endurance, and she tells everyone to do squats. As everyone's working their glutes, Bink opens up a little and tells Kim about his ex and how nobody liked her, but they have such a great connection, he doesn't know if he'll ever find that connection again. Miranda overhears this and assures him that he will find that connection again. You all will. She's speaking to us too, Corinne.
Thank you. Thanks, Miranda. Love you. Kisses.
Okay, now Jumping Jacks people, move it. After the calisthenics, the group is tasked with completing a rope obstacle course up in the trees, and it's about 10 times better than the one in Advice to Love By.
Oh, it's like a million times better than the one in Advice to Love By, which is just some planks hanging from, I don't know, a crane? Question mark?
Yeah, and like a tire.
Yeah.
A tire and a plank, and that's it. This one is way more superior. Ben questions the point of climbing trees, and Helen, the older lady on her second run in boot camp, answers, this is to face your fears! And she faced her fears last weekend because she wanted to call her ex-husband Roger, but instead went skydiving because it felt better hurtling towards the ground and possible death than feeling the feelings she would have gotten after talking to him.
Yes.
Miranda congratulates her and adds that she's glad she went for the safer option, quote unquote. Safer option, skydiving versus talking to your ex on the phone. Miranda is still shouting encouragements to her group, and Ben is still mercilessly flirting with her. He tells her she should have a fear week. She declines. He asks her when it's her turn to go through the obstacle course, and she just ushers him past. Keep it moving, Ben. Keep it moving. Quit trying to fucking piggyback on this class and help her.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the exercise, everyone is grouped around Miranda, and she is so pleased that everybody made it all the way through the course. And remember, she says, next time your confidence takes a hit, remember how you got through this whole course yourself.
Yeah!
Yay!
I kind of understand the whole skydiving versus talking to the ex thing. As in, like, you have this impulse and you know it's not really what you want to do, so you got to do something to take your mind off of it.
Yeah.
And to, like, get you away from, like, maybe cell reception or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, that's why I've got this podcast for, to sublimate all my desires into it. Want to do something stupid? Work on the podcast instead.
Hence the sexual innuendos.
Oh. Chloe and Miranda continue their search for another employee. Me! I'd be perfect! Me! But they're not interviewing me. And really, Miranda doesn't want the random people they're interviewing. She keeps on trying to convince Chloe to take the job, but Chloe keeps on declining. She's being a real Ben in this instance, I have to say. What Chloe is doing is important. Like, fuck off. It's Friday, and Miranda has her regular Friday night date with herself at the climbing gym, but she doesn't expect to see Ben, who has done research on her, and shows up at the climbing gym saying that he always comes here. And I swear, if this movie was on Lifetime, there'd be at least one dead body by the end of it. She asks him how his heart is, and he's like, fine, super healthy. But she knows walls when she sees them, and she is determined to climb the wall that is his heart and reveal what is inside. She says, still not ready to talk, huh? Well, I'll be ready when you are. She challenges him to a climbing race to the top, and Ben totally fails both times. Once they're done climbing, she eyes him. This is your first time, admit it. He does, and confesses he's not so good at being not so good at things. Miranda counters, that's why you need to challenge yourself, so you won't be in your head so much. Ben admits, I'm a chronic overthinker. It's hard for me to turn it off. Miranda's face softens, and she smiles. There he is. Valet stand, Ben. The guy who spoke to me openly about things because he didn't think he was ever going to see me again. I was waiting for that guy to get here. Ben chuckles amiably. I feel the same way about valet stand Miranda. She just listened. She didn't try to analyze or fix me. Miranda raises an eyebrow. I get it. But that's why you're paying boot camp, Miranda.
If you had personas, different personas, Corinne, what would your different personas be?
What do you mean?
Well, there's boot camp Miranda. There's valet stand Miranda. I have graphic design Tamara.
Sure.
I have Tinder Tamara. And I have podcast Tamara.
Despair, Corinne. Yeah, just despair. All despair, all the time.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You are not despair all the time. All day, every day.
All day, every day.
Despair, 24/7.
Get it now. It's fine. It's all good. I got a podcast. That's all I care about. I'm sublimating all of my feelings and desires into the podcast. You can't quit this podcast, Tamara. You can't quit.
Oh, it got real, real, real fast.
No pressure.
There's despair, Corinne, and rage, Corinne. If you even think about leaving the podcast, I don't know mind you. I know where you live.
Oh, I get it. But that's what you're paying Miranda, paying boot camp Miranda to do. Ben acknowledges this and says, I actually think Serena did me a favor. Miranda raises her eyebrows at him, saying Serena instead of Jen, but says nothing. And Ben continues, I was always talking about maybe, almost, with Jen, but never got past that. And that was her problem with me. Miranda smiles. I created this program because I needed help getting past my ex. And it's very rewarding for me to help others, including you, to get there. You are exactly where you should be in this process. The letting go stage. Miranda gets up and looks at him slyly, whispering to him before she heads out the door. That means it's working.
The next session in Miranda's breakup boot camp is the escape room. Woo! This week, she informs the group, is all about teamwork. So we need to all work together to get through the escape room. Room. Or we're all going to die. Everyone chuckles as she continues. There's a bomb and it's going to go off in an hour unless we disarm it. Start the clock. A digital clock on the wall starts counting down from 59 minutes, and everyone's still standing there, so Miranda ups the ante. I'm serious! Move it! The group scatters around and breaks off into pairs. Helen and Bink immediately start bickering over a section. Miranda comes over and encourages them not to fight. Lean on each other. Bink argues, well then don't tell me to do math. Seamlessly, Miranda offers, why don't you guys switch places? Maybe Helen's better at math. They do, and they instantly fall back into sync. Ben opens up what appears to be a locker and invites Miranda to come in with him. To explore, air quotes.
Ooh.
She follows him to a small metal room, and once they're inside, the door shuts behind them, and a voice announces over the loudspeaker that they have been captured, and you must rescue them to get your next clue. Bink comes over and yells into the closed door, don't worry, Miranda, we'll save you. Kim, who's standing a little ways behind him, adds, and my brother will save him too, right? Bink shrugs, yeah, whatever. The team disperses, intent on saving both of them, while Miranda has a bit of a panic attack behind the closed door. She sits down on the floor, admits that she's not a fan of small places, and asks Ben to distract her. He sits next to her and asks what her favorite ice cream is, and she says vanilla. He calls her boring. Fuck you, Ben.
I hate vanilla ice cream. Ben, I'm in your camp.
I know, but don't knock somebody else for liking it, especially when she's like, I'm hyperventilating, I'm having a panic attack, and your ice cream selection sucks, Miranda, quite honestly. Miranda asks what his favorite flavor is, and he proudly says chocolate chip cookie dough. She shakes her head with disdain. Too complicated. Miranda asks him to please not discuss her little bake breakdown in the panic room and admits, I'm not so great at letting my guard down. He leans in closer to her and says, by telling me that, you're letting your guard down. She chuckles. Maybe you should be teaching this class. He's just returning the favor and admits, you're always taking care of everyone else. You know, she says, you can let your guard down too. And he politely says, no thanks. And admits that letting his guard down is about as appealing as getting attacked by a shark. He works really hard in his relationships and his work not to let his guard down. And maybe that's why he's failing at relationships. Just then the door slides open. Bink pokes his head through and it informs him that they're all dead. Miranda says, great, springs up and out of the tiny room. The group takes the obligatory, we suck because we didn't escape the room photo, and everybody disperses. Miranda calls after him, see you next week. But Ben lingers behind and asks, is there a way I can change the person I'm writing my letter to in the last week? Miranda tells him he's getting a little ahead of himself, but he can pretty much do whatever he wants in that letter. She asks if he's going to write the letter to Serena, and he's shocked. Did my sister tell you about her? No, she shakes her head. You did when we were at the Rockwall. You said Serena instead of Jen. Ben nods. That makes sense, and probably why I can never pull the trigger on a relationship. Miranda tells him to write a letter to whoever he needs to let go of most, and he tells her she's a good listener. We next see the troop of heartbreakies at week 4. Miranda is informing all of them who are standing in an empty room that this week's lesson is connection. There is champagne and chocolate-covered strawberries off to the side, and Helen, my spirit animal, beelines over and grabs a glass of champagne. She's not shy. This was my favorite week last time, she announces, and Miranda pairs everyone off into couples and tells them they're going to have a dance lesson. A svelte Latina takes over and informs the group that they'll be doing salsa, a salsa especial, a dance that she created called La Vida del Amor. Kim cringes and raises her hand. I'm sorry, she tells the group, but I can't do a dance called A Life of Love with my brother. Bink offers to switch partners, so he will dance with Kim and Ben will dance with Miranda. They hesitantly approach each other as the music plays. They dance back and forth while the instructor encourages them to trust their partner, move together. So much can be said in silence.
Ooh.
Ben and Miranda are not doing so hot, and Miranda accidentally steps on his foot. The instructor deftly comes between them and shows her how it's done, and probably cops a little squeeze of Ryan Pavey's chest if she's smart. Because that's what I would do. They must move and twirl and dip. Ben and Miranda come back together, but the instructor practically smushes their genitalia together.
Yoga hug!
Closer. Closer. Is that what a yoga hug looks like? Yay! Got to see it in action. And they yoga hug the shit out of that dance. They dance close, and with every move, something is heating up between them. Little hearts start forming in Miranda's eyes, and the hearts in Ben's eyes. Ben's eyes are getting bigger. He dips her. She swoons. And when he brings her back up to a standing position, she remembers herself. She's teaching a class. Talk, lady, talk. Remember, she blurts out, what it feels like to be safe in the arms of another person. You get to have that again. We all do. She looks pointedly at Ben and giggles a little bit. She's catching the feels.
Ooh. I do not blame Kim at all for not wanting to do La Vida del Amor with her brother.
Her brother. I know. I'm like,
dancing is a sexy love language. And she's like, not with my brother in, is it? Miranda returns home at the end of the day. She walks into her bedroom. To her bedstand. From the drawer, she pulls out her blank Dear Dex letter. She looks at it, and then with a shake of her head, puts it back. The next day, Ben gives Miranda a call. His sister Kim dropped off her week 6 letter early and is having a bit of a meltdown. She thought she was doing fine without him, but she was wrong. So Ben asks Miranda if she'll join him as part of the Moral Support Brigade. She says yes and agrees to meet him at Ben's place. At Ben's apartment, Kim is tearily deleting pics of her and her ex off of her phone. But Ben stops her at Mom and Dad's anniversary celebration. He says they'll Photoshop her ex out and make George Clooney her date. Kim wisely requests Chris Pine to be her date instead. Done. Kim is full of regrets. She wanted him to know that she was doing fine, but turns out she's not. Miranda says those letters are for us, not for them. Miranda pep talks her, and Kim leaves feeling empowered. After the successful pep talk, Ben and Miranda go for a walk by the water. Ben thanks her, and Miranda talks about how letting go and moving on is a process that takes different lengths of time for different peeps. Ben wants to know how long it'll take him. Is this a flip-flop level journey, or do I need to buy new running shoes? And Miranda says that everyone is different. Ben asks, so how long did it take you? Well, Miranda honestly responds, I'll let you know when I get there. I think Miranda's boot camp does a really good thing, and I think it helps people. And those people who are like, you can't love other people until you love yourself, are so wrong. Like, you can totally love other people and not love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can still not be over someone, but help other people process through, like, breakups. Like, there's a lot of things that people can do that they may not necessarily be, so that they still may be working through themselves. I like that they have Miranda not being, like, just all superior throughout this.
I thought it was a really big thing too that she said, I'm still not over it, instead of being like McTeacher about it and being like, actually, la 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 la. She's like, I'm still not over it.
Yeah. I like Miranda. She's awesome. Yay, Miranda.
Yay, Miranda.
Other than you trying to convince Chloe to be teaching a fucking class, that you just need to step off a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe talks with a potential employee about how Miranda runs 5 camps a week, leading them herself, which is why they're looking to expand and make it so other people can teach the classes as well. Just then, Miranda enters and Chloe excuses herself and approaches Miranda, letting her know that Dex has been reaching out a lot and suggests that she leave her comfort zone and talk to him. Miranda deflects, and you say you're not ready to run a class, please. But inside, she's thinking about how she really doesn't want to talk to her ex, but it really may be time. Fuck all. Fucking Dex. Fuck you, Dex. Fuck, 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 fuck.
I like how his name's Dex and it rhymes with X. Dex the fucking X.
Dex the fucking X.
Ben is back at his office getting coffee when Leo approaches. Good work at that staff meeting. You're a natural born leader. And asks how the boot camp story's going. Did you get any dirt yet? Ben stalls. I got notes and things are going good, but it's not at all like I thought it would be. Leo looks at him dubious. You're getting involved, aren't you? And he declines. No, no, being completely impartial. No involvement here at all. Good, Leo says. Think you can get me some photos? Ben says, yeah. Goes straight to his computer and starts writing the article. Then Ben goes to the boot camp building just as Miranda and Chloe are leaving. Can I talk to you? He asks. Miranda agrees and Chloe disappears. Sure, she says. I was just about to go to the rock wall. Do you want a rematch? He shakes his head. Definitely not. But are you open to something new? Something I like to do when I need to shake the cobwebs off?
Ooh.
She thinks she's up for something new, and they head off. He takes her to his favorite vista that overlooks the city of Portland.
Right? Yes.
Okay. Portland. Yes. Was that... Okay. Stupid question. Was that a real view, or was it a...
Oh, green screen?
Fake view. Yes, green screen.
I don't know. I just want to believe it was a real view because it was real pretty.
It was. And I just kept looking at it and I was like, fake or real? Real or fake? I can't tell. He tells her that he used to come here in college to clear his head. And she comments how beautiful the view is, the city and the twinkling lights below. And then adds, too bad we blew it up, in reference to the to the escape room, not saving the city. He chuckles. We'll save it next time. And I have to apologize, she continues, that she was wrong and she shouldn't have called him a cynic. After the escape room, she realized that Ben's a pretty good guy. He shrugs his shoulders and says, no, I think you were a little bit right about me. Jen, Serena, and all the girlfriends in between. Feels like for the last 10 years, I'm keeping everybody at arm's length. The opening up causes Miranda to do the same. And maybe you're right about me too, she admits. He leans in and says, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? She tightens her lip. This is a hard thing for me to admit. Boot camp was my rebound from Dex, and I was so focused on it and never stopped to look at the underlying issues I was having. Ben tells her that even though she's not perfect, she's helped so many people to heal. There's a moment of silence, and she asks, what's next? And he tells her to slow down. Let's just stay here and enjoy the moment and each other. She takes a deep breath and agrees and tries to be present as she looks out onto the lit up skitty skyline.
Oh, the skitty skyline. Oh.
The skitty skyline. It's a pretty skitty skyline.
A few sentences ago, you said boot camp, and I thought you said boob camp. Like, at first, I was like, wait, what? Oh, no. That was boot.
Yes. The boob camp, where you get your titties and tatas up and erect.
Ooh. We go to that, and we come out perky. Very perky.
Oh, my gosh. That just reminds me of my Aunt Connie. That one time we went over to her house. I think you were there when she was talking about how you get older and your breasts sag and they continue sagging as time goes on. She's like, I never realized how true that was until I bent over in the shower to pick up a bar of soap and had to move my boob out of the way.
I love your Aunt Connie. I love you, Aunt Connie. I love her so much. We enter week 5. Trust. Everyone stands in a circle on the grass. Ben is in the middle and tells about how he was rejected at 24 when he tried proposing to his girlfriend, and she shut him down. 3 days later, she packed up and moved to Chicago with Dave Freeman, her first love, which totally fucked him up. Kim, his sister, agrees. She's never seen him like that before or since. Miranda reminds him that the past isn't prologue, and he can put his trust in the next person, and they won't let him fall. Motherfucker, it's a trust fall exercise. Fuck off with that. As we all know, no transformational program is complete without a trust fall. Just because a bunch of people won't let you fall when it's part of a group activity and other people are watching doesn't mean they won't let you fall when no one is looking. Time has passed.
I saw that part in the outline and I was like, did I write that or you? Why was I so angry at the trust fall? Oh, no, it was Corinne.
I did the second part of the notes.
Makes so much more sense. And I'm like, oh, I don't remember being that upset at trust and falling. Okay.
I don't have feelings. I'm fine. So many team building exercises. Like, oh, we've got to fall again. Yay. That's just going to be super helpful. Time has passed, the exercise has ended, and everyone is grabbing their stuff to go. Dex calls again, because apparently he can't leave a message letting her know what he wants to tell her. She picks up and agrees to meet. Miranda and Dex meet for coffee. Dex lets her know that he's getting married in June. She looks inside, and she's happy for him. She can see now that they clearly were not right for each other. Dex doesn't apologize for leaving her without saying anything. He doesn't apologize for anything. Fucking asshole. She is so much better off without him. Dex is a tool.
Yep.
That's my clinical diagnosis.
I would say tool. So. Dex, the fucked up ex.
Like, seriously, the guy who leaves you, like, what kind of an ego trip is he on? The guy that you're married to leaves you without an explanation. You haven't talked with him. And then he's insisting on getting together with you so he can tell you he's getting married. But he doesn't address.
And doesn't apologize for anything.
Ugh. Fuck that shit.
He must have really fucked up Miranda, because that's why it's taken her years to get over him. Because that guy is a tool.
Ugh.
According to Corinne.
Not you, though. You think he's a fantastic guy.
Oh, I'm trying to think of some curse words. I'm thinking of some curse words I like to call him. Later that afternoon, we see Miranda and Ben in front of a hot dog stand eating some street meat. Again. Hot dogs, weenies everywhere. Hallmark, what's going on?
They got a deal. They have like a freezer full of hot dogs. Fell off the back of a truck.
They have a very good friend that'll send them two different kinds of hot dogs on their Valentine's Day, and they got to get through all of them. And if you don't get that reference, you need to listen about 5 or 6 episodes back. I go on a little bitch session about why hot dogs and not pizza for a little bit, but I think I've already covered that, so I'm moving on. After they get their tubes of meat, they walk, and Miranda tells him that she closed the book on Dex and wanted to tell Ben after their night out. He encourages her and says, yeah, the first week of Heartbreak Boot Camp is released. Maybe you should look into that. She nods, understanding the irony. I know people go at their own pace, though, and I just took a couple of years longer than everyone else. She takes a bite of her hot dog and gets a glob of mustard on her lip, which, of course, he must wipe away seductively.
Ooh.
And asks her if she would like to go out and sit in silence again. She reminds him that they agreed just to be friends, and he... She reminds him that they agreed just to be friends and walks away with a wiener in her mouth.
His wiener, because he gave it to her.
I don't know why I think that's so funny. I'm 12. I'm a little girl. I need to go use the little girl's room. Later that night, Ben and Miranda are at their special spot overlooking Seattle. No, fucking Portland! Portland! Damn it! What is up with this movie and our geography? Mostly me, but... Overlooking Portland, ... as friends. Ben is telling her all about how he wanted to be pre-med at Harvard until he went into the operating room, saw a surgery, and passed out on his crush, breaking her tibia. So he switched his major to journalism because he likes that words can inform and inspire people. Not unlike a certain heartbreak boot camp instructor, he says, nudging her that she inspires people to overcome what they're avoiding. Miranda agrees and adds, and sometimes the boot camp instructor meets a student that doesn't let her get away with her own shit. They bond, especially over the fact that neither of them knows how to have a healthy work-life balance. Ben says, I also think that rebounds can't always be bad like we learned in class. Miranda softly agrees. Maybe they can keep you from something wrong. He brushes her hair back and leans in, and I half expect a leaf to fall or a dog to bark or some lost hiker to meander in front of the car, but no, none of that happens, and they actually kiss, and it's a nice one, and this
it is.
Portland skyline glitters behind them. I was so waiting for it when that happened. They're leaning in, and I'm like, sweet baby Jesus, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I was like thinking of the myriad of things that could potentially interrupt, kisses interrupt us, and that was not the case.
Kiss tractor beam activated, and it did not get broken.
Nope, or turned off, or falter, or lose its juice, or get unplugged. It was there, it was on, and it was working.
Yes. May the kiss tractor beam be unbroken, by and by, Lord, by and by. May the kiss tractor beam be unbroken, in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
I do not know that song, and I really wish I did so I could chime in.
Oh, it's May the Circle Be Unbroken, but yeah, I elegantly slid Kiss Tractor Beam in instead because...
I didn't think it was the original lyrics. I know Corinne's song stylings.
Get ready for some excitement because Chloe and Miranda rock climb and girl talk while Kim and Ben talk by the water. Chloe and Ben both admit to their friend and sister that they're crushing on each other. Miranda feels like she's crossed a line, and Chloe reminds her that she gets to be happy too. Ben lets Kim know that he's really crushing on Miranda and that she was right. He really needed the class. Back at Ben's work, Leo rips Ben a new one about his article. What's going on with you? Your article is muddy. There's no point of view. It's all over the place. Get your shit together, Ben. Leo walks off and Ben sits in front of his computer. But before he gets to work rewriting the article, he tries calling Miranda, who sends him straight to voicemail. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Before class starts, Kim asks Miranda if they're only burning letters or if they can burn objects. Fire, fire. Miranda says you can burn just about anything that will help you let go. But just remember, this is not a funeral pyre, so it will not help you get rid of your ex's body if you have offed him. Kim happily thanks her for the info and walks off. Bink overhears the convo and nods his head. Good to know, he says. Bink then approaches Miranda, asking her back on the show for a more in-depth interview. He wants to give her more exposure and thinks the boot camps could go national. Bink and Ben cross paths as Ben approaches Miranda, and Bink is leaving, practically hissing at him as they pass. Ben comments to Miranda, well, I think he's coming around, and chuckles self-consciously. He then proceeds to ask Miranda out for Tamara's favorite food, street meat, a.k.a. hot dogs.
Why? It's like times three. It's the trifecta of street meat. Like, can they eat anything else?
No.
Seriously.
No, no, they can't. Not in the
bedroom. That's why I'm thinking it's like, you know, it's symbolism. Wieners. Wieners. There's no sexy time in Hallmark movie, but it's weenie heavy. It's just not the weenies you're thinking.
Oh, you know, people just love sliding that round, thick piece of meat between their lips.
Yes, yes, they do. Oh, Lord.
He then proceeds to ask Miranda out for street meat. It's on him. And there's something he wants to tell her. It's not the meat that's just long, thick, and hard. She agrees to meet him at the street meat stand after class.
Week 6, closure. Class is in session. Everyone's in the sacred circle writing their letters. They have 2 minutes to get all their thoughts and feelings out to their ex. Miranda reminds them again that they're not the same people that joined this boot camp 6 weeks ago. This is about them.
Yeah.
All the clients are writing furiously. Tomorrow night, she announces, you can decide whether you want to burn the letter or send the letter. Time's up. Then we see Miranda in her office. Chloe comes in with the journal stuffed full of papers and tells her somebody left it behind. She recognizes it. It's Ben's. She tells her just to leave it on the desk. When Chloe leaves, she pulls out an edited sheet of paper, and at the top is the title, Miranda's Heartbreak Boot Camp, Fad or Phenomenon. She finally realizes this whole time he's been writing about her and her class. Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal, betrayal, betrayal. She takes the journal and meets Ben at the waterfront, where he's standing by the street meat vendor with 2 hot dogs in hand. I got you the chili dog, he says cheerily. She shoves his journal at him and says, you forgot this. He sees the paper placed prominently on top and says, I can explain. Can you? She accuses. Was there even a Serena or a Jen? Is Kim in on this? No, hey, he corrects her. Kim doesn't know I'm writing this article. I didn't even know I was writing this article until I joined the class. And everything I said was true. She is livid. If you wanted press, you could have just asked me, not go behind my back. It's not what you think, he says, pleading. She says, really? Because I think you missed your calling. You shouldn't be a journalist. You should be an actor, because that all was a banner performance, and walks away in a huff. In a huff!
She's not taking that chili dog. She's not taking any more of the weenies that he's trying to give to her. No more.
She rejected his weenie.
Rejected it. Miranda goes home, pulls the Dear Dex letter from her bedside table, tears it up, and sits on her bed with a fresh piece of paper and writes, Dear Ben, as she sits there and cries onto the letter, heartbroken. Ben there, girl. Ben there. Oh, my gosh. So many tears over so many stupid boys. I feel you. Get it out. Get it out.
Get it all out.
Oh, heartbreak. At Ben's apartment, he gets a knock on his door. It's Kim, and she's really a best sister, as she comes over with a bottle of wine. She tells him he's fucked up, but they should drink and talk about it later at the butt camp.
Butt camp, boob camp.
You know, butt and boob camp.
Ugh. Butt and boob camp. I want to go there.
You leave with more lusciousness.
Oh, yes. On both sides, top and bottom.
Bounce, bounce. Later at the boot camp studio, Chloe finds Miranda punching a punching bag. She recognizes that Miranda is not okay and lets her know that she'll take over the first class and tells Miranda to go home. Chloe says,
yay!
She's ready to take that next step. Even though they're ultimately going to need 10 more teachers, she's in as a gap stop. Go team breakup boot camp! Miranda's morale is boosted by her talk with Chloe, because Chloe is rad. Chloe lets Miranda know that she'll meet her at the bonfire, and Miranda goes home for the day. As Miranda starts heading down the path towards the beach, Kim snakes her. Miranda, can we talk? Miranda says, sure. And Kim assures her that she did not know anything about the article. Miranda, in turn, assures Kim that she didn't think she was in on it. Kim also says that her brother may be misguided, but he's changed through doing her program. Miranda, you helped change Ben for the better. Miranda is dubious. I don't know about that. But Kim insists. He really is a different person, and it's all because of you. Miranda acknowledges Kim and deflects, saying, I'd love to believe that, but she looks towards the water. We should go join the group.
To the bonfire, fire, fire. She meets all the clients around the roaring fire except for Ben. She has everyone read their letters and asks who is burning and who is sending. Kim says that she sent her letter already, but she has Darren's sweatshirt and it's going to burn tonight. Jessica, the lesbian with joint custody of the cat, wishes her ex a happy life and throws the letter in the fire and adds, she'll take comfort knowing that the cat always loves her a little bit more than her ex's new spouse. Miranda takes a cue from her clients and says, this is long overdue. I have a letter too. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell the person it's addressed to, thank you for your lessons and I'm letting you go. Bink is next. He disappears away from the fire and brings back a chair and puts it in the fire while explaining, this was her favorite chair in my house and I can't look at it without seeing her mean face, so I'm burning it. Everyone has revelations and closure.
Aww. No bodies were burned in the making of this bonfire.
I thought that was so funny, though, that Kim burned the sweatshirt and then fucking Bink comes back with a chair. And I'm like, dear God, man. Good thing they didn't have any pets.
Oh.
Meanwhile, Ben is back at his cubicle putting the final touches on his article about Miranda's broken heart boot camp. Leo comes by to check in on how things are going, and Ben tells him, it's the best article I've ever written. It'll be on your desk tomorrow morning. Leo can't wait to read it and hurries away so he can finish. Later, Chloe's leading her first class on their third week. It's the ropes obstacle course, and she is shouting encouragement left and right. Miranda is so proud and divulges that she thinks Chloe's students love her class more than if Miranda were teaching it herself. Looks like Chloe finally switched lanes. Everyone disperses at the end of the class, and Chloe and Miranda finally look at their phones and are shocked. Chloe gasps, I have 9 missed calls. Miranda nods her head. I have 5 and they're all from the office. I hope everything's okay.
It's all Dex. It's all Dex.
I need to talk to you. I need to tell you that I'm... Wait, I already talked to you. I still need to see you. Because I'm a dick.
You weren't sad when I told you I was getting married.
I need closure, but sad closure. Nope, it's not Dex. They have been inundated with calls since Ben's article was released. The article's not online, so they rush to a coffee shop to buy the current edition of Advantage Monthly. It reads, we live in a cynical world, and it's easy to assume that everyone has ulterior motives because negativity sells.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus, I was tired when I wrote this.
I'm just going to read what I wrote and then ad-lib it.
Great.
Because this is ridiculous. Sells, bad nice tooth takes the super Heidi and the good news writes up express. So when I joined Miranda's breakup boot camp, little did I know that in 6 short weeks, I would be a completely different man.
Wow, that made a whole lot of sense. Are you speaking in code? Is there danger? Week twice if there's danger.
What the fuck? It's like, oh, sweet baby Jesus. I had a week. I am so sorry, dear listeners. My family came to visit and I was super busy. Anyways, little did I know that in 6 short weeks I would be a completely different man. The boot camp brought me back to the man I used to be before I had a broken heart, by the woman I wanted to marry, the man who believes in possibilities and goodness and love. This article will walk you through the steps I took to find my way back to myself, and I invite the readers to give this program a shot. Or 2. Then we get a montage of all the attendees that were in the class reading it, and then Miranda rushing over to the Advantage Monthly office, where she runs to his cubicle, but it's empty. Coincidentally, Leo's standing there and informs her that Ben's no longer on this floor. He's up in the executive suite, 8th floor corner office. She rushes up there to see him gazing out the window and says, they'll give the corner office to just about anybody. He turns around and smiles, and she says, I liked your article, and my phone's been ringing off the hook because of you. He smirks. In my defense, that's not the worst problem to have. And she agrees. Not so bad. He says softly, I'm sorry about everything, Miranda. And she answers back, I know. I know a way for you to make it up to me.
Hot street meat?
How about we go out for a wiener? You know which one.
I'd like you to wrap your lips around something.
He smiles. If my article isn't good enough. She says, no, I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, maybe you could be my rebound. He said, I was in the market for one of those. And then a really smart doctor said that was a terrible idea. She shakes her head. She's a work in progress. And aww. He pulls her a little closer and says, aren't we all? And they kiss with a wonderful view behind them. Them and their kissing and their views. 3 months later, Miranda's on Good Morning Seattle with Ben being interviewed Portland. By Bink. And he points out that in addition... Fuck me! 3 months later, Ben and Miranda are on Good Morning Portland being interviewed by Bink. And he points out that in addition to being a boot camp broken heart guru, she also found love with Ben, who coincidentally wrote an amazing article at Advantage Monthly. Ben says Miranda made it easy, and she agrees and says, yes, in the beginning it was always work, but when you love what you do and can commit to the work, I guess anything is possible. I agree, Bing says, motioning over to his co-host. The sooner you do the work, the sooner you can get over the pilot who catfished you on the internet. He looks at her smugly and then informs the audience that Miranda's new book will be available at all bookstores near you and new classes for her book boot camp are forming weekly. Then we see Miranda and Ben at their favorite lookout point, kissing again while the Seattle Portland skyline twinkles behind them. The end. I really think that there's something like deep down that's telling me to go to Seattle for some reason.
I'm here for it. Let's go to Seattle and Portland. We should go to Portland too.
Let's go to both.
What did you think of this movie?
Oh, man. I wanted to like it because I really like Ryan Pavey. But it just fell short of the 4 dry kisses for me because mm-hmm. he was kind of smarmy in parts and was trying to help her, which was a weird plot twist. And, you know, the diversity was there, but almost like a secondary afterthought. So it doesn't kind of count. Appreciate the reach, though. It was good, but not something that I would recommend probably for somebody to watch first. It's fine, but it wasn't great. 3.5 dry kisses. What do you give it?
I am right there with you on everything that you said. And I think that in some ways this movie was really nicely scripted. I feel like Miranda's role was really good and I appreciated a lot of it. That having been said, all of the things that you said. Do I love Ryan Pavey? Yes. There were 3 kisses in this movie and they were good ones.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
If Ryan Pavey hadn't come off a bit as a stalker / not listening, non-consent dude, if there had been some actual diversity, there was some, but it was very tertiary almost. It was a little bit secondary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been a solid 4 dry kiss movie. But there were just a couple of creeping creeper problems. So I'm right there with you at 3.5 dry kisses.
Too many chinks in the armor and wieners.
Yes. So what are we doing next week?
We're doing our first episode of our Maysteries, which are Hallmark mysteries.
Uh-huh.
And we are doing Morning Show Mystery. And the episode is called Mortal Mishaps. Mortal Mishaps.
Dun, 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 dun.
Ooh.
And it's got Holly Robinson Pete from 21 Jump Street in it. Yay!
Yay! And that freaking hot-ass balls guy, Rick Fox. Oh, he's a fox.
Foxy, foxy. And really, for me, most importantly, it has the actress Karen Robinson in it, who plays Aunt Cassandra, and she is also in Schitt's Creek, and she plays...
Oh!
Yes. She plays Ronnie. She is fantastic because she just transforms herself into whatever role that she is in, and I love her to bits. So, super mm-hmm. excited about mm-hmm. doing Maysteries, but I'm telling you, they may be a shit show because... outlining these has been a beast, so we'll see how the storytelling goes with this. Woo! So, if you have any comments, if you think that Ryan Pavey was a perfect gentleman throughout, if you liked the 3 dry kisses that were in Don't Go Breaking My Heart, and or if you have any other commentary, please let us know. You can write us at onedrykiss@gmail.com or reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, or the Facebook, all at One Dry Kiss.
And that's One Dry Kiss spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you have the time and like what we're doing here, we'd love to hear your ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to this podcast. And as always, thank you for stopping by, and we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
You need to say all this stuff next to the microphone so we can have some outtakes, lady.
But I'm funnier when I'm not in front of the microphone.
You can't be funny unless there's a microphone there to catch it. Be funny into the mic.
we're just hanging out and talking in person, and suddenly I start saying something. You're like, hold on, and you pull out a microphone.
I have a pocket mic that I'm like, wait, say that again slower and loudly.
You have your pen, your little pen mic. Yes.
Those things do exist. They do.
They do.
Dang it.
They do exist. You are very right. Now that I've gone to the little girl's room, you can go. Oh.
I can go to the little girl's room, or I can continue with the story.
You may continue, m'lady.
Thank you, little girl, question mark. Oh, is that the first spit take? Is it?
I think that may be the only spit take I've ever literally done in my life.
Yes! Oh my. And luckily we had the microphone to catch it all.
Oh, thank goodness it was just LaCroix, which means it's clear and there's no. And it's not sticky. Oh. Unlike facials. Oh, God,
no. Too soon! Too soon!